Let's hear now some of perhaps the most famous songs ever.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. Been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. It's in a dream.
Here come old Santa, he come grooving up slowly.
Nothing like a bit of Beatles with your breakfast in the morning, is there? Over the years, many, many books and dissertations have been published about the Beatles themselves, about their music and about their lyrics. But have you ever seen an original handwritten version of a Beatles song? Hunter Davies, who's the author of the only authorised biography of the Beatles, has collected 100 of them, some of them scrawled on old scraps of paper, airline tickets, backs of envelopes. Just imagine it, that's where they're written. And he's reproduced them in a new book. It's called The Beatles Lyrics, The Unseen Story Behind Their Music. I spoke with Hunter Davies earlier from London.
Hi, Fran.
Hunter, how hard was it to chase down these original scraps of paper? Where did you find them all?
Well, I've been, in a way, searching for, 40, 50 years. I have got 9, and over the years, I've given them away. At least I've had them on show in the they're on show in the British Library in London. They're in the manuscript room next to Magna Carta, Wordsworth, Shakespeare, Beethoven, all the greats, and there's a case of my stuff. So when other ones have come, I got them really when I was doing the Beatles biography all those years ago. Some the Beatles gave me, others I picked up from the floor at Abbey Road. And you've got to remember, these were lads in their early 20s. The whole point of being in the studio was to record the song, i.e. the words and the tune. So once that was done, they had no more interest in the scrap of paper. I've kept an eye on when dealers had any or collectors had any, and I've often thought I would like to track as many down as possible.
It is incredible. I mean, when you think about these lads, as you say, that were recording in Abbey Road, that had no mind to the scraps of paper. They had, hindsight is a wonderful thing. They had no thought of hanging on for posterity. And now these are precious items in the Sotheby's catalogue.
Yeah, I woke up in 1981 and Sotheby's were having their first sale of pop music memorabilia. And I woke up to find that the stuff I had on the walls or in my drawers were worth more than my house. So the prices of these things, this is the original handwritten manuscript. These are the early versions in which they wrote it on the back of airline notepaper, birthday cards, any scrap of paper they could find. The fascination to me and all Beatles fans is you can see their thought process. You can see them changing lines, thinking of a different word, changing the endings.
Tell us about that, because I've had a look, obviously, and you've reproduced some of them. What do they actually show? Because I know in the book you basically, you know, say that they show the creative process, the unique process that sometimes went on between John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Give us an example of where that's on display.
One of the interesting ones is, in my life there are places I remember in my life. How's that for singing, Fran?
Pretty good, mate, pretty good.
Anyway, in the original manuscript of that, you have, that's the first verse, then the second verse is about Penny Lane, and then there's another verse about tram sheds and tramways and bridges and docks, and none of these extra verses were used. We know that Penny Lane became a song roughly a year later. So you'll see what was happening. What was happening was that they had at one time an idea of doing, you know, Sgt. Pepper was a so-called concept album. The idea being, the conceit being, it's a sort of Victor Edwardian band playing. They had this idea of having an album which was all to do with from their childhood. So when he's doing There Are Places I Remember, this is one of those songs he was thinking of. So he's going through in his head places he had remembered, but then he cut out all the specific places and just cut to there are places without naming them, because therefore it appeals to everybody. We all have places we remember from our life, blah, blah. But later, they came back to it. So musically, you can see what was in their mind at the time, and you can see them changing things, and you can see verses that they never used at all. But there are 5,000, well, not 5,000, probably 50,000 people across the world's universities today, in Australia, in America, everywhere, who are studying the Beatles' music. And this is sort of fascinating for them, which wouldn't have been when my book came out 40, 50 years ago. But now, the further we get from the Beatles, the bigger they become, not just in the value of memorabilia, but their importance, and we all realise we'll be humming their tunes as long as we're on the planet.
And we will hum their tunes for as long as we're on the planet, but let's go to their songwriting prowess finally. Yes, they're amazing, and yes, universities are studying them, and yes, they're in the British Library next to, you know, Shakespeare and Beethoven, but do they really deserve to be there for Love Me Do, yeah, or I Want to Hold Your Hand, or She Loves You, yeah, yeah, yeah?
You sound a bit derisory there.
No, I love the Beatles, but I'm just wondering when they transformed from that to poets.
With I'm just doing the lyrics, i.e. the words. In the early days, Love, Love Me Do, the words are banal. Nobody can say the words were brilliant. But when they first began, they were writing how you wrote pop songs at the time, and it was Love Me Do, I Love You, You Love Me. But look at them now. You can see this amazing... You can't believe they then wrote Eleanor Rigby, which is a work of genius, I think, the words, and Strawberry Fields. But on the other hand, people like Wordsworth, who is everybody thinks he's a genius as a poet, he wrote totally banal words as well. It's the thing about a pool or a stream. It says he measured it from side to side. It was 2 feet long and 3 feet wide. That is absolutely appalling. But of course, the Wordsworth experts, and you mock him, say, "Oh, that's rubbish. That's my grandchild could do that." They'll say, "No, because he was a genius, even the rubbish stuff is part of his oeuvre, is part of his whole." It's the same with the Beatles.
Sorry to interrupt you, but just finally, I need to ask you then, as you study the words as they progress from those early days, as you say, they are a bunch of lads at that point too, let's not forget.
They're young.
But John Lennon, we always know, was a poet. As they progressed and their songs got more complex, was it John who emerged as the lyricist?
No, they jointly wrote the words. They would think of a verse, and somebody would say, "That didn't work, let's try again." And they would compete with each other, and they'd only move on until the other person agreed that wasn't bad. But as they developed, they came in with their own songs. And John had been writing poetry since he was 11 or 12, and he was the so-called poet. But Paul, that's a remarkable thing, Paul. I mean, Paul, the words of Eleanor Rigby, what's that line again, sits at the door wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. That's the most amazing image, don't you think so?
I do.
For a lad of 23 to write about a spinster. Well, we don't know she was a spinster, but she's a lonely old woman. So Paul's lyrics are just as good as John's. They were, but and eventually, turns out George was good as well. It was remarkable that they wrote these songs. Great words and great tunes.
And it's remarkable that so many years later, people are prepared to pay so much money for those scraps of paper. Hunter Davies, thank you very much for tracking them down for us, and thanks for joining us again on Breakfast.
Okay, Fran, bye.
Hunter Davies, can you believe that? Over $1 million for a bit of a scrap of a Beatles lyric written by a fresh-faced young 20-year-old or something. The Beatles Lyrics is his book, The Unseen Story Behind Their Lyrics.